Time now for all things Gators, all things orange and blue. Dan Hicken and Frank Frangie. What's up, Hick?
Hey, Frank. Thank you, Southeast Orthopedic Specialist, for bringing you this podcast, se-ortho.com, for all your orthopedic needs on the first coast of Jacksonville.
I got to tell you, I don't know what to tell you. Here's what I got to tell you. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
I by now, you've read the Pat Forty, Pete Thamel stories.
Yeah.
I'll take it. Pete Thamel wrote... And we'll get to the game and all that in a minute.
Yeah.
But that's the news. Pete Thamel pretty much wrote, who's pretty connected.
And yeah. I don't know,
that Dan Mullen will be out after the season.
Yeah.
You can, it's inevitable. I think, did he use the word inevitable or imminent? I think
yeah.
imminent is the word he used.
Yeah.
Did that surprise you to see a generally connected national writer pretty much say that you can count on Dan Mullen being out when this thing's over?
Yes.
Me too.
Yes. I, look. You can say what you want, go either way, whether you want him fired, don't want him fired. I understand there's something to be said for continuity in the program, whatever, but and there's others who differ on the other side, including myself. But yeah, I kind of was under the impression that he was going to be given this year. Are you telling me that if he wins these next two and goes 7-5, he's still out?
That's what I say. And I find that hard to believe. The reason
now, I don't think he's going to win the next two, but
right. The reason ADs fire in season mm-hmm. quite often.
Mm-hmm. Get a jump.
That.
Yeah.
And that's what they'll tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not saying Scott's like this, but yeah. a lot of ADs will make the move in midseason for fear that the guy makes a run. And then how do you fire him after four straight wins?
Right.
I've seen that a lot.
That's also fair.
A lot
yeah.
of ADs will
yeah.
do that.
Yeah.
Like, that's why Ed Orgeron got it. Because
right.
Scott Woodward
right.
didn't want him getting hot at the end of the year.
Right.
And all of a sudden, how do you fire a guy who just
eight
won four
and four.
Straight?
Yeah. yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, and again, I'm in no way saying that's where Scott Strickland is. I don't know that answer.
Mm-hmm.
But it surprised me. All right, takes on the game, takes on the team, takes on the program.
Okay.
Number one, the Grantham thing. I always said this. I'm not saying sure Todd Grantham did a good job. He probably needed to go because of the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't the problem. The problem was they're not playing hard. The problem, and that was clear the other day. And I told you this after the LSU game. If they've been playing football since 1906,
yeah.
and some LSU back with three names that I've never heard of
yeah.
has more yards than anybody in the history of the program against
yeah.
them, it's not the defensive coordinators not calling good plays.
Yeah.
It's the fact that something's wrong. They're not playing hard. They're not committed.
Right.
The LSU guy had more yards than anybody, more yards than Herschel.
Well,
okay, that's
we
not,
had another record-breaking yeah, performance yeah. on Saturday.
And then again, a historical, and again, this wasn't, can you imagine the vitriol that Grantham would have faced if he'd have been there for this one?
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine? And so
they would have run him out.
Yeah, I think Dan's lost the team, whether it's his fault, whatever. I think there's no fire left. They're not. They beat Samford because Samford has 60 scholarship players who ran out of gas.
Yeah.
They Samford outplayed them until they were tired. That's what happened.
Two things. I think Herb Street was dead on. I usually don't like the national guys poking in our business, but
I hear you.
I think he was dead on. He came out on Saturday morning before the game even and said, you know, we got too many guys who play for themselves that, you know, once they lost to Kentucky, it's like there's this attitude down there that once you can't win it, then so what? And maybe that started with the Oklahoma game and the Cotton Bowl. I don't know what happened. I know it's gone south. I know it's gone south quickly. And the other thing I've said is, you know, Frank, you know, again, 100 years from now, after we're all gone, there's going to be a trivia question. Who scored the most points in the history against the University of Florida in a half? Mm-hmm. And people will get it wrong over and over again. They'll say Alabama.
Right.
They'll say Georgia, Florida State. Maybe
right.
Miami did it. Tennessee somewhere along the line. Didn't Peyton get them? No, it's Samford.
Right.
That was, you know, that half of football on the defensive side was, you know, pathetic and disgraceful. I mean, I don't know how I would have pulled every one of those kids and put in the scout team.
And they played some backup guys.
Yeah.
They played Wingo and
yeah.
guys that don't play very much. But and it wasn't just the 42 points.
Yeah.
Guys running wide open.
Oh, man.
Guys breaking tackles like
yeah.
they're playing with junior high
yeah.
kids. It was so why? Well, they quit playing hard.
They're not.
Football's hard.
Yeah.
Football, you have to be on the same page.
Yeah.
You have to be freaking committed. There's a reason baseball teams and basketball teams play 1,000 games a year and football teams play 12 because
mm-hmm.
it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be ready for everyone. You got to be committed. And I'm telling you, how can you, and again, I'm not trying, you know me, Dan, I'm not a fire the coach
right.
guy. You know I'm not. But how can you not think he's lost his team? and how...
Well, can he get it back?
And what evidence is there that he can?
Yeah, I don't know.
And I don't know. And I don't want to see him fired. I don't want to see coaches fired. But I don't know how you move forward without now with, again, I just... I mean, that was a... Yeah, and I don't... And they could lose both these games.
I think they will.
Yeah, I can tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
Florida State is
playing hard.
Is playing hard, mm-hmm. and the quarterback's a good player. And mm-hmm. and so... But again, back to the Gators... So what happens? What do you do? We're in a podcast, and people are listening to the podcast and saying, okay, Frank and Dan, what should we do? What do you want?
I mean, I can give you all the numbers in the world why I think Dan Mullen should go. Now, I say all that, and I think it went bad last year. I don't think it's just a this year thing. I think it went bad towards the end of last year. I think there's been some bad decisions made. Now, with that said, he did come back. He did win 10 his first year. He did win 11. He went to 2 New Year's Six Bowls. He went to 3 last year. And then it's gone south. So... if you're of the ilk that this is one bad year, he deserves the right to fix it, that's fine. I don't think he can.
Yeah,
I think it's a program that's gone south. I think it's a program that now has his players. I think you're seeing residuals of bad recruiting. I don't think there's nothing on the horizon that suggests to me that it's going to get better. But if you don't have a plan, if you're Scott Strickland, then you're idiotic. If you don't have a plan that says, okay, well, I already know, you know, I'm going to get this guy, or this guy, then I think maybe you are making a mistake. This is a career definer for Strickland too.
And here's what I think about this year's team.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I have disagreed on this a little, and I think I'm in the minority. I think you're in the majority.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they have 5 losses because of bad recruiting.
Yeah.
I think they're not going to catch Alabama and Georgia with this bad recruiting.
Right.
But I think they have bad loss. I think Newkirk and Valentino and Carter and Kyer Elam and Torrance are generally better players than the guys they're playing against. Not Alabama and Georgia.
I don't want to name names, but 22 is horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think he's a good player at all. He's not played well. Right. I mean, anyway.
But my point is this. I think he's done a really poor job with this team.
Yeah, obviously.
I think he never got quarterback right. So, yeah, Emory had a career game.
Right.
Because he's playing against Samford. Right. Guys, I mean, retired.
And
by the way, Emory will be a good quarterback
in
a game when the pass blocking is so good that he can sit there and look and wait.
And it has been pretty good this year, the pass blocking.
Yeah, and the reason he completed all those passes, go back and watch it.
Yeah.
He sat in the pocket forever.
Yeah, they were open.
Well, but it took a while to find
it.
It did. They were still never pop, 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 pop.
So,
but yeah, Emory had a great game. I think Dan messed up quarterback.
Has he fixed it, or is the kid going to leave? I mean, that's another question you're going to have to ask.
Dan has picked his quarterback
for next year.
Yeah, Dan picked Emory Jones over Anthony Richardson.
He may be right.
Yeah, right.
I agree with you. I'm not sitting here saying he might be right.
Yeah,
but it because of everything that's happened, there's a lack of belief that he's right.
But he clearly and Dan wants, and God bless him. And this is one of the things Pat Forty and Pete Thamel wrote. Dan wants the narrative to be, hey, we're fine. It was just one bad year.
Yeah.
We're still playing hard. Hey, every win's a good win.
Yeah.
And you know what? Emory's doing great. We wanted to get Anthony in at the end of the game. It just didn't go that way.
The end of the game?
Yeah. Well, but that's how he's – the way he's positioning is, Emory's a starter. You should all understand that.
Yeah.
Anthony's a backup who's not ready. You should all understand that.
When did that happen, by the way? Did he ever come out and say Emory's a starter? Because he didn't. He started – and now when you – and again – you have to understand that these kids have people around them.
Right.
And Anthony Richardson has a confidence, a swagger, a belief.
Yep.
And basically now what they're telling him is, that guy threw you to the wolves, man.
Yeah. Well,
you started one game and it was against Georgia?
I didn't think about this till you said it last podcast. You made a great point last podcast. If that's the only game he gets to start in Florida, that's a shame.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
No.
He should have got this one just because of that one.
Correct.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And
by the way, according to Dan Mullen, they probably would have lost the game if he had started, and played this whole game.
And so
because they needed every one of those 70.
But the fact is, if Samford gets 50 points on you, and 42 and a half, then the reality is you've lost your team.
Yeah,
there's no that's the thesis statement here. As much as you hate to, if Samford can do that to you, a team that got buried by who beat him 55-12.
Oh, was it Middle Tennessee or someone?
But the fact of the matter is, they're not a very good team.
They're not great.
And they just put 52 on you. And so when that happens, then in all reality, when that happens, you've probably lost your team.
Mm-hmm.
So we said this last week. I'll say it again this week. So the question now becomes for Scott Strickland: does he weigh Dan deserves another chance because of the first two and a half, 3 good years.
Right.
Or does that not matter if I don't think he can bring it back?
Right.
And I got to believe Strickland, I don't know which of those he feels, if any, but he got to believe that's the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And does he believe this is the guy to bring it back? Because right now it's a disaster.
Right.
How did Florida go from almost beating Alabama in the SEC, a legendary Alabama team in the SEC championship game?
A year ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, an Alabama team for the ages.
Yep.
With Heisman winner and Heisman runner-up and all this stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How did they go from that to being a disaster? So someone's got to – Dan Mullen and Dan's pressers. Dan, what happened?
Is his fate sealed?
It can't be casual.
Is his fate sealed?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't either. And that's the – but the point is you can't just be casual. Oh, you know, things happen and we're fine. And you know,
right.
No. You went from almost beating Alabama to being – a borderline top 50 team.
I think
did that happen?
I think, too, we have some tone-deaf folks at the top. I'll start with Mullen, press conference after the win. It's hard to win college football. Celebrating like you just beat George in the locker room.
I know.
I don't know, man. Again, I want you to be happy that you won. Don't get me wrong. But it's not hard. It shouldn't be hard to beat Samford. I'm sorry. And I feel like he beat Samford at Mississippi State 56-41.
Right.
Same game. So what he's done is he's brought Mississippi State to Florida instead of Florida elevating Dan Mullen.
That's a great point.
So I kind of feel like it's same situation, same guy. So that bothers me. It bothers me that I read that the president went up to Dan Mullen afterwards, shook his hand on the field and said, "You're doing a great job." No, he's not.
I didn't know.
He's not doing a great job. It bothers me that the athletics director says, "I don't get caught up in the recruiting numbers because I was at Mississippi State when we had a kid named Dak Prescott." Look, that's one in a million, bro. I'll take my 5 stars and take my chances anytime. If you can't sit there and admit that you got a recruit better, something's wrong. So is there a commitment level? I'd be curious to hear from Dan Mullen. Is there a commitment level from the very top on down? A lot of this falls on Dan Mullen. He's the head coach of the football program, but is he getting everything he needs? I don't know the answer to that question, and I'd like to know that. With that said, I'm now bothered by everything Dan Mullen does, so I maybe need to take a step back.
Yeah.
I'm bothered by, quite frankly, if I'm here to entertain you on the podcast, I'm bothered by... Now I'm bothered by the summer of look at me water skiing while Kirby's sucking back 3 cups of black coffee at 3:30 a.m. getting up, driving over to Atlanta, getting on a charter, going to Massillon, Ohio, and locking up a 5-star. Frank,
it's Massillon. But
thank you. That's what I'm bothered by. So I'm bothered by everything. Well, so I want to ease back a little bit.
But let me give you the reality. let me give you the joking aside reality.
Yes.
You're where every Gator fan is.
Yeah.
You're not. This isn't right. Dan Hickett thing.
Right.
Every Gator fan is so frustrated right now.
Right.
And one thing Dan Mullen, I don't think, has done is say, "Listen, I know, man. We messed this one up.
Yeah.
It's not okay.
Right.
It's not okay that Samford got 52 points on us. It's not okay that quarterback play hasn't been better and I've let the defense get this bad.
Yeah.
It's not okay." And he'll go, and every now and then he'll throw in a, "Well, we know Gator fans are frustrated. We're frustrated,
right,
too."
Yeah.
One thing he keeps saying is, "I can tell you, nobody's harder on me than me." No, that's not true, Dan.
No.
You're not on Twitter.
No.
Okay? If you think you're... Okay. Okay. No, Dan.
No, they're not,
no,
Dan.
No, I promise you, they're harder on you than you are on
Don't read my string on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm just going to say. So the truth of the matter is, what did they do? All right, so we haven't come up with anything.
And, you know, we sit here. I mean, like I said, we're mad about everything. The offense scored 70 points. I'm still mad Damian Pierce won't play.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and he has made his choice on
it. Yeah, that's done.
Again,
we get it.
Again, he's made 2 choices.
Yeah.
He's made a choice that Malik Davis is his starter and
they're
going to play evenly.
Yeah.
And he's made his choice and Emory Jones is his quarterback.
Yeah.
And he has taken that I'm the coach and I'm the smart guy.
Yeah.
And I don't care if every fan in the world wants Damian Pierce running it more.
Yeah.
The reality is I'm not running him more.
Yeah.
And next year when the San Francisco when he leads the NFL in rushing with the San Francisco 49ers who are running him more, there'll still be an explanation as to why not.
I do appreciate him showing some fire on Saturday, finally, and yelling. It looked like he cared. He didn't look like he cared a lick against South Carolina. Going forward, I have no confidence about winning at Missouri. They have the SEC's leading rusher. He went for 200-plus against South Carolina.
Right.
How are we going to stop that?
Well, and it's not—
If we have no desire.
That's it.
We have no desire to stop it.
It doesn't matter who they're playing.
Yeah.
If they can barely beat an FCS team.
Yes.
When they go on the road to play an SEC team who's not very good.
Right.
The truth is, it's
but a team that will be fighting for a bowl game.
I mean, college football is funky enough that they could rally themselves. They are favored in the game.
Frank, where is the program ranked right now in the SEC? Not overall. So taking, I'm not just saying, because right now the way they're playing, they're like 12, 13, okay, the way they're playing.
Where's the program?
But where's the program ranked right now?
If you asked me the current program, if Mullen stays.
Yeah.
I'd say I'd go Alabama 1, Georgia 2, even though Georgia's better this year. Alabama 1, Georgia 2, A&M 3. Mm-hmm. I would probably go, before I talk about the risers like Tennessee, I'd probably still have LSU, Auburn, 6 or 7 would be my answer.
Okay, that's not good enough.
No, it's not, but that'd be my answer.
But and I agree.
Yeah.
And that makes us a middle-of-the-road SEC team. That's not what I'm after here. And I don't think that's what any Gator fan – I don't understand why it's wrong for Gator fans to get mad about what's happening.
So now that we've kind of summarized all, you think they should make a move. Should they make it now? Should they wait till the season's over? Should it have been done by now already?
Well, when I was angry on Saturday.
I know, but beyond the anger.
Okay, but again, just for entertainment purposes, you know how Jeremy used to lean on that goalpost at the end of the game?
Yes, he did. He'd squat a little bit.
If I was Scott Strickland, I would have been leaning on that goalpost. I would have had a $6 million check in my pocket. I would have handed it to him and had Billy Gonzalez go do the post-game presser.
Yeah.
With that said, I don't know that – I don't care when they make the move, if they make the move. Do I think they should? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
But I think that, again, and I don't know how the rules work, but you better know who you can get.
Yeah, well.
Don't fly into this blind because
Okay, let me stop you there.
Yeah, I know.
If you don't know who you can get, should you make the move?
No.
Then you let Dan Mullen stay.
Well, I want to know who I can get.
Yeah.
Now, I would be okay with Billy Napier.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with taking that shot at that guy, and can that guy go win?
Yeah.
You know, can that guy recruit?
How many of those guys do you feel good? How many guys out there would you feel good about? Florida reasonably can get.
And haven't done much homework at all.
Okay.
There's not many.
Yeah. See, that's part of this equation, too.
I know. And that's fair.
Yeah. I think one of two things are going to happen. A, he's going to get fired.
Right.
Or B, there's going to be an entire reboot.
Yes.
Staff, planning.
Yes.
Recruiting plan, recruiting budget.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the two.
Yeah.
He's either going to have to totally reboot it.
Right.
Or they're going to fire him.
Right.
There's no debating that.
Yeah.
I've never been a fire the coach guy. You know me. Mm-hmm. I hate why we always want to fire our coaches so fast.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, I'm like you. I don't know, because of the narrative. The narrative's hard to beat, Dan.
Yep.
I don't know that they can get this back. I don't know that I find myself thinking they can resuscitate this.
Do you think next year, if Dan Mullen comes back, that they're going to win 10 football games? That's my question.
Well, again, the answer to that, I'm not ducking the question.
I know.
But the answer to that would have to be what's the reboot? Who's the reboot?
How do you attract?
Let me finish your question. Do they go get... Do they pay Brent Venables $3 million and leaves Clemson to come run the defense?
Right.
Answer. That's part of the equation.
Right.
Do they go get a superstar offensive guy?
Right.
Superstar
recruiter guy.
Right. So I can't answer that question because I'm convinced they won't go back into the season like this.
Yeah.
I'm convinced this.
That would be a mistake.
Yeah. Now, having said all that.
Well, let me ask you this.
So I don't duck the question.
Yeah.
I think the answer is no.
Okay.
I don't want to duck your question.
Thank you. Who is going to come to Florida to coach for a lame duck hot seat coach?
Well,
and I'm not saying maybe he's not lame duck, but he's certainly hot seat.
You can that's a myth.
You've told me you never get off the hot seat.
Yeah, you don't. But that's a myth. You may not get Brent Venables,
right?
But you'll to be an assistant coach at Florida,
making
$1.2 million to coordinate the defense.
Yeah,
they'll line up. Right. Because they'll be convinced they're the one that can fix it.
Okay,
and they can say so. There's a myth that you can't get coaches to come here. That's not true.
Okay,
but I don't know that you get recruits to come there when they think you're going to be gone.
Well,
that's not a myth.
I got news for you, friend. Signing day is a month away.
Right. And so
it ain't looking pretty.
And that's why I'm leaning toward, I don't think Scott's making this move because he knows that too.
Yeah.
And if he was going to make the move, he'd want to get in front of it with the recruits. So the fact that no move has been made yet tells me one's not coming. Now, you never know how you're going to feel after the game.
If they lose the next two, you still think one's not coming?
No. I've said all along, if FSU beats him, he's fired.
Oh, you feel that way?
Yeah, I don't think you can keep him. If FSU comes into your place, on a year where you're supposed to be upwardly mobile and they're still rebuilding.
Yeah, because then they've passed you already. Passed you.
Right. So I think yeah. I don't think he can survive an FSU loss.
Okay.
Missouri, I'm not quite sure.
Well, good luck getting him ready to play that game.
But again, before we get to basketball, let me ask you this.
Oh!
Let me hang on.
Wait a minute, baby!
I'm the basketball
reporter. Let's do it now. We've done enough on this.
No, hang on.
You got one more?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
Let's assume they fire him. Who's the coach? You said Billy Napier because that's the name that's out there. Who would you want? I mean, really?
No, I read an article on him.
Yeah.
I did some
well,
research.
There you go.
Yeah. 10-win seasons back to back. No one's ever done that over there in Louisiana.
James Franklin?
I'm not big on him, although okay. A couple of my buddies are, okay. But go ahead.
Okay. Billy Napier.
Yeah.
Matt Campbell, Fleck. Is there somebody we're missing? I mean, again, here's what I can't say.
You don't like my wild card guy from Purdue, the guy you know,
Jeff
you won't
Brom,
give him any.
I do know Jeff.
You won't give him any love.
Because at some point,
yeah.
Like you said, you got to know who you. I'm telling you who I would hire. I've told you this before.
Who?
I would hire PJ Fleck.
Oh, yeah, you did tell me.
For this reason.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's a good coach. I hope he is. He just lost to Illinois.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they got beat again over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
What I do know is he would have a Charlie Pell like effect
on
rallying the troops. The troops need to be rallied.
Yeah.
They haven't won anything of note since 08.
Yeah.
Okay. You realize a long time ago? Yeah. What year was your son born?
Brooksy?
Your younger son.
05.
Okay, he's 3.
Yeah.
Let me put this for your son,
big kid,
who is a 6'2", 215-pound, very good football-baseball player,
yeah,
was 3
Ooh.
The last time they won anything of note.
Ouch.
So they need to what Pell did, and you know this, I was there. Pell rallied the troops.
Yes, he did.
He said, it's ridiculous that Florida's not winning.
Right.
Let's go, and he cheated, but I mean, let's go round up dollars from Key West to Pensacola. Let's start Gator Clubs. Let's get that logo out everywhere. Let's build the stadium. Charlie Pell built it. Now they need to see Spurrier to win with it,
mm-hmm.
But Charlie Pell built it. I think PJ Fleck, his personality, his charisma, can you see him running around the state? He's gimmicky, I know that.
Mm-hmm.
But can you see him running around the state with that logo on, getting in front of recruits' houses, getting in front of high school coaches, having every high school coach in the state come? You know one of the reasons, by the way, that Zook was able to recruit that whole team that won the 06 National Championship, all those guys, Marcus Thomas, Moss, all those guys?
Why?
Because when he got there, he said, I'm winning back the high school coaches. The first year, they both have these high school clinics,
mm-hmm.
and both FSU and Florida had them at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
The second year Zook was there,
mm-hmm.
he told his coaches, you need to learn every high school coach by name. You make sure they think you're their friend. You invite them here. The second year, and I'm going to get these numbers wrong,
mm-hmm.
but essentially there's like, if there's 500 or 600 high schools, you'd get 400 and they'd get 2 and you'd get 3 and they'd get 3. His second year, Florida got 450 high schools at their clinic,
mm-hmm.
and FSU got like 100. Because his belief was, win it, win it, win it, win it, win it. Charlie Pell was like that. I think P.J. Fleck would be in every high school and have clinics and they'd be this and that and they'd be going crazy and people would call him gimmicky and people, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's the reboot I think they
can do. I do my last, one more thing about coaches and yes. be a bit hypocritical here?
Yes.
Just tell you something that bothers me now?
Yes.
Oh, and by the way, here's another name. And he's too young and maybe you'll say he's not ready and I don't know whether or not, but I keep tabs on that Philadelphia Eagles quarterbacks coach.
Brian Johnson?
Yeah.
Me too.
I wouldn't be afraid. I
don't know that you can make him the head coach.
Yeah, I know.
Yet.
It's tough. But, I mean, if you got that feeling, if he's as good as they all say he is.
Yes.
I could be swayed.
Yeah. Veteran defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Veteran staff.
Keep Rooster
around.
Yeah.
I could be swayed. Because you need something different. I would rather him be at a small school first.
Yeah, I know.
I'd rather.
I know.
Can you give me 3 years at Austin Peay first? That's what I'd like.
No, I don't have 3 years,
okay, but
Frankie.
I need them now. But Brian Johnson's.
And here's the one last thing, and then we'll mention hoops and get out of here. And this is me, as Gator fan, Gator Dan fan. I'm gonna be hypocritical here. I never liked Grantham because of this.
Yeah, the
on the Georgia sideline.
I agree.
It always bothered me.
Yeah.
You're not one of us.
Yeah.
Muschamp wasn't one of us.
For people that aren't watching video,
oh, I'm sorry.
Dan grabbed his throat.
He did the choke sign when he was at Georgia on our kicker.
And the kicker made the kick, by the way.
And our DC right now, Georgia player. I don't like seeing a picture of him in the in Altel with his Georgia garb on. I don't think you can ever take that out of it. I want someone who loves the University of Florida, who bleeds the orange and blue like we do. Frank.
You know what? I agree with that. Now,
here's the hypocritical part.
Yeah.
If Jeremy Foley had done the right assistant hire
right.
and not picked Muschamp, but picked Smart, we love him, and he played. He's red and black through and through. He may not have taken it, but I mean, he would have been the right guy.
But let me tell you this. Back to your point, I am the guy, and they're going to call us rubes for filling the
void. Yeah, we are rubes.
But yes, I would hire Jerry Odom to coach my linebacker.
Yeah!
I would hire Bam Hardman to coach my linebacker. All these guys that are out there, Robert Gillespie to coach my running backs, because all these guys.
The Gators.
They get it.
The family.
And I would. I mean,
maybe it wouldn't work, but I like those guys who want to go the extra mile, bro.
I can tell you this. Speaking of that,
mm-hmm.
Will Muschamp, who I really like, and he's a wonderful guy. I wish I had worked out with him. He interviewed Kerwin Bell here in Jacksonville for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Flew into Craig Field, went over to JU.
Yeah.
For 3 hours, Kerwin was up on the board. We'll do this. Will really considered hiring him, then hired, not Nuss, then hired Brent Pease.
Yeah.
He really considered Kerwin.
Yeah.
He's told everybody Kerwin can do this job. I was very impressed. And then he hired Brent Pease.
Yeah.
And when he hired Brent Pease and didn't hire Kerwin, well, I was a little bummed out, and it turned out. So anyway, before basketball, do you, yes or no, do you think Dan Mullen's the coach next year? Yes or no? Is he the coach for the 2022
game? Yes.
Okay. I'm going to tell you I think he's not.
Okay.
I don't know how it goes. Somehow, some way, I think he's not.
Might be right.
What about the hoop?
Look at my smile.
You are a smile. Dan,
I have all you down, Mike White haters. I have every one of your names.
I know.
I kept them all. And 1-7 is acceptable, Dan? No, 1-0, jackasses.
Right.
1-0. Okay? Got all your names down, huh?
Yeah.
Where are y'all at? Where are you? Why aren't you giving them credit? You were ready to pounce yesterday. I know you were. Here come the Noles. I know you were ready. I know your fingers were at the tips of the Twitter. Know you were.
And the Mike White haters all had a lineup of who they were bringing in.
Okay? Oh.
Anthony Grant was on it.
I know you were there.
No.
Shout out Mike White.
You're accepting mediocrity is what they told you.
Yeah.
I like this team, I think. It's only been two games.
But
they're older.
They're gritty.
They're gritty. And they can make shots.
Got a little grit.
Yeah, I think. Now, the thing is, when you have seven transfers, you need seven more next year. And you need seven more. So let's worry about this year.
Yeah.
So, wasn't that a fun game, though?
It was great.
It's a fun game.
It's so great. Great win. I hate the scheduling.
Yeah.
Do better.
Yeah, I do.
Sunday night, even.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. It's Florida State. It's a chance for whatever.
They lose to Missouri?
Yeah.
I think beat Missouri, lose to FSU.
Oh, I'd reverse that in a second.
Well, of course you would.
No.
But I worry about the FSU game.
No, I'll take Missouri in the 7. I'll see you buying me dinner.
All right. These are tough times.
I'm not rooting against them, by the way, though.
No. All things Gators, all things Orange
Blue.
Dan Hick and Frank Frangie.
Yes. Thank you, Southeast Orthopedic Specialists. I'm emotionally exhausted. SE-ortho.com. Have a good week.